Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
In Cutler!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The director of Hoosiers and Rudy, David Anspaugh, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With me saying how much fake Rudy is, Hoosiers? None of that happened! Is that what you're saying?
Today's guests. Sports media personality, John Boy. Stanford head coach, David Shaw. Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel. CNN Plus host and 12-year NBA veteran, Rex Chapman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. It's this latest edition of the Rich Eisen Show. How is everybody today? That's a rhetorical question. I'm assuming you're just as good as all of us here in the Los Angeles studios of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got some terrific guests here today. Can't wait to tell you who they are if you haven't just already heard. We say hello to our Peacock audience and Sirius XM Channel 85 audience, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate group from coast to coast, Odyssey, however you are streaming this show, maybe for your ears on the Odyssey app. And then we say hello to all of our podcast listeners at Cumulus Podcast Network, and where all podcasts can be acquired. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you miss here today. Chris Brockman, good to see you, sir.
Hey, Rich, we're still nominated, right? They didn't take that
they
away.
They did not take that away from us. They didn't. They did not take that away from us. Good okay, to good. See you, Jay Let's Felly. Try. How are you?
What's up, Rich?
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, lighting the candle, sir. How are you?
Well, Rich, you know, much like Roman Reigns, the travel chief, we are needle movers because we are nominated for a sports Emmy.
Needle movers. I do like that.
We move needles.
I do like that. It's interesting you say that because that's the way I referred to myself.
As the needle mover?
Years ago, when I first took over NFL Game Day Mornings hosting roles from way back in the day from Spiro Ditas.
I remember that.
He was hosting that program from the very beginning. Yep. And then a couple years in, and they, you know, they said, how'd you like to move from the nighttime to the daytime and host the NFL Network pregame show on a football Sunday? I'm like, sure.
Did you have to think about it?
No.
Okay.
You were doing both for a little bit, too.
I don't think I... Did I do both?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's like 10, 11.
Falling asleep at night, whatever. Well, at any rate, you know, whatever it takes. There's a Rich and... There's an I in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. But at any rate, so...
there's a me in team,
so... The ratings came in at the very end of year one of my tenure there, and they were up. Mm-hmm. So I looked at Marshall Faulk, who was, you know, an analyst from the very first NFL Game Day Morning to the end of his tenure at the network. And he's sorely missed every single Sunday. He looks at me, mm-hmm. and I look at him.
And
I'm like, I just looked at him. I said, you're welcome. And how do you think Marshall took that?
Not well.
Not well.
So I decided there's two ways to handle Marshall Faulk.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You defer to him, mm-hmm. or you just push the pedal to the metal.
I'm going to say you took the latter.
Well, no, there are other times I defer to him for many different ways. I mean, you know, watching football with him, he's like Rain Man. Like, the football toothpicks are on the ground, and he'll tell you exactly how many fell.
He's a savant.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He will look at, you know, some people lining up, and he'll go, this is an interception coming. Yeah. This is a fumble coming. This is going to the right. This is going to the left. And it's right every time. So you defer to him. This time I pushed the pedal to the metal and I decided to double down, and I referred to myself as the needle mover.
Okay.
So the fact that you mentioned that.
So Roman
Reigns. That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Roman Reigns owes you some merchandise.
Yes. I'm the needle mover. I'm the needle mover. So Chris Brockman's professionalism is going to be sorely tested today because.
It's not every day?
Well. Good one. Good one. But I would say out of Chris Brockman's top five favorite athletes of all time.
I can name them for you.
Top five favorite athletes of all time. And if this guy's on the list, if you had to say all New England and Syracuse Orange athletes must be removed from the list. Gotta be out. Number one on his list. His top number one favorite athlete of all time.
No doubt.
And we're taking away all Pats and Bucks.
All Pats and anybody Orange. Anybody okay. Remotely close to New England.
Gotcha.
No,
at all.
No Celtics.
Remove them from the list.
No Georgia Bulldogs.
Number one is Eldrick Tiger Woods. Number one.
Facts.
Correct. Right. Okay. So the fact that here we are on April 7th, 2022, less than 14 months removed from his February 23rd, 2021 accident that left him
bad shape.
At first blush, mortally wounded, it seemed. And nearly caused him to lose his right leg. The fact that he's at Augusta, standing upright, looking like he never left, and playing in the Masters. Great. There's no words for it. There's no words for it. It truly is one of the most remarkable comebacks we've ever seen. And by the end of the day, figuratively, we will be talking about, name the greatest comeback in the history of anything, sports, anything. This is one of them. It doesn't matter what he does today, and it doesn't matter what he does tomorrow, and hopefully what he does Saturday and Sunday. And I'll tell you what, I know anything can happen, and I know that this is obviously a round of attrition for somebody who couldn't walk as of a year ago, less than a year ago, whenever he was out and about. Whenever he's able to be out and about, that this is the tough part for him, is walking the course. But just four holes in, and you see what he looks like, and you see how he's hitting it, and you see the way he's shaping it, and you see the way he's putting it. This guy's back, and he's not just back, but when he was asked the question earlier this week, do you think you can win the Masters?
I do.
And that's his response.
I do.
You know, how do you think otherwise? His first hole today, he had one of those classic Tiger Woods 10-footer to save par right in the front door. He's, as of this very second, parred the first four holes. He just tapped in on a par three, his first par three. And he almost birdied the par five second hole.
Inch to the left.
So, look, I know that golf isn't everybody's favorite sport. And there's a lot of people who haven't played golf. And I know that you pointed out yesterday, TJ Jefferson, that you've never been anybody's house for...
Crib.
Anybody's crib for a Sunday Masters party when a caller asked, what would you rather do, see a Super Bowl on a Sunday or a Masters Sunday? And you're kind of like, get out of here with that.
Just saying, if those parties exist, I ain't been invited.
But this is exactly why we watch sports. This is exactly why we love watching sports. This is exactly why we can all get together and watch sports as a community in a world that is fractured and people are pointing fingers at each other. We can all actually get together and talk about this guy who everybody has some memory of. Because it's 25 years since his first victory at the Masters. The one for the ages, as Jim Nance referred to it earlier this week. come on now. Tiger Woods, y'all, is essentially what I'm saying.
Come on.
And we will be, and we are so fortunate to be here on NBC Sports on Peacock, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio station, and Sirius XM Odyssey, and all of our platforms. We are so fortunate that every single second that we're on the air today, Tiger Woods will be out on the course at Augusta National as a player, as a threat to win the Masters, when we thought we'd never see him play again, let alone look like this, let alone have it all together the way he appears to have it all together. Because I don't see an ounce of body fat on this guy, and I don't see a hitch in his giddy up. I don't know if he's just chomping Motrin. By the way, that's not a bad a name there. I don't know what he's doing, but
Rich,
whatever.
You can't say it and then be like, that's a good vantage. You know what I mean? Just let it happen.
Just let it all. I got it.
Appreciate
that.
I got it.
He's chomping Motrin right now, which is similar to chopping broccoli. Whatever he's doing, he's chopping doing broccoli. It well, and he's crushing it, and it's exciting. And that, just to bring it all full circle, is exactly why Chris Brockman's professionalism will be tested throughout.
What?
And we've got four guests. And Chris, you're going to have to do the news top of hour number two,
because right,
there's so much going on in the NFL world. We
it.
Are 3 weeks removed from the NFL draft. I will be in front of the fountains at the Bellagio, like one of the Ocean's Four on the NFL Network set will be me and Daniel Jeremiah and the 100% great human, great A individual, Charles Davis. And for the 10th year in a row, David Shaw, coach of Stanford football, he's going to join us in the middle of hour number two. And there's mock drafts everywhere. And Kayvon Thibodeau, who's going to go either first overall or second overall, is Peter Schrager in his mock draft put out there on Good Morning Football today. Or he could be ninth overall, 10th overall. Is it Aiden Hutchinson first overall? You know, I want Sauce fourth overall. So David Shaw will be joining us in the middle of hour number two. And then in hour number three, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans. How does a coach get ready to pick 26th on the clock? That's where the Titans choose. And as you know, Mike Vrabel was, he's the reigning coach of the year. But he and the Titans put forward their own overtime rule change concept of forcing whoever gets the ball first, if they score a touchdown, forcing them to go for two. The NFL membership did not vote on that. They voted on just the straight up, both teams get to touch it. And Vrabel called that an improvement. And I can't wait. He's the first NFL head coach that we've had on. We've got John Harbaugh of the Ravens on tomorrow. He's the first one that we've had on since the owners approved this rule for the playoffs starting next year. Can't wait to game out with an actual NFL head coach, a coach of the year, the reigning coach of the year, the reigning Cody of the NFL, to just game out. Like, so what are you going to do? What are you must have thought all this out already since you put together your own proposal. And, you know, there's talk of A.J. Brown being on the market, because DK Metcalf, there's talk of him being on the market. I doubt A.J. Brown is going anywhere. And Vrabel, by the way, made the list of finalists for the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Yes.
He's in.
Well, I mean, you see who else is a finalist. You know who's a finalist? Parcells. He's not in. Because I think he once famously said he couldn't shop for the groceries
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he left.
No, but he left. For the Jets, which, as you know, is a no-no. Took Belichick with him, by the way.
Yeah, Chris Martin, too.
Let's not forget. That's the way the Jets-Patriots rivalry really began. Because unless you want to talk the Ken O'Brien-Tony Eason years.
Nah, I don't.
Sparked it. So, Vrabel in hour number three. Also, in studio, hour number three. Love this guy. He's got his new show on CNN Plus. Interview show. One of the best basketball players of his generation. The great, the one and only Rex Chapman here in studio.
Yes.
So there's so much to talk about with Rex in hour number three. I'm so excited. I don't believe I've ever met him in person, by the way. Interviewed him,
really?
Chatted with him. I would call him a friend just based on, you know, our conversations, direct message, texts. Interviewed him. I think this is the first time I've ever met him.
That's awesome.
So he'll be here in studio in hour number three. But today is opening day in baseball. And when Rex sits down here to start talking to us in hour number three, that's when the first pitch of the season will be thrown by Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs against the Milwaukee Brewers. Would have been Yankees Red Sox, but that got rained out.
Yesterday.
They got postponed as of yesterday. Yeah. Zach Greinke's return to the Kansas City Royals, who's starting Bobby Witt's son today. Talk about how old you possibly can be. Greinke, I believe, is in year 16 of his career. How about them apples?
Wow.
Against Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber, for the Cleveland Guardians.
Guardians.
First game of the Guardians today.
All right.
The St. Louis Cardinals are starting Adam Wainwright with Albert Pujols on the team, which means what year is it?
Are they the Lakers of the Major League Baseball this year?
You got the Mets starting.
Jacob DeGrom.
Nope. Oh, wait. Nope.
Max Scherzer.
Nope.
Oh.
It looks like Jimmy McGill of Better Call Saul fame is starting.
That would be Tyler.
Oh, it's Tyler McGill?
It's Tyler.
Oh, sorry. We're talking Better Call Saul with Giancarlo Esposito as our first guest tomorrow. My
bad.
Are
you sure it's not
DeGrom? My bad. Max Fried will take the bump for the Braves title defense.
Stop.
And Ronald Acuna Jr., not part of the Freddie Freeman fan club, will be part of the attempt to repeat. Ohtani taking the bump down the road from here.
Shohei.
Against the Astros. And then Yu Darvish versus Madison Bumgarner for the Padres and the Diamondbacks. And that's the way opening day of Major League Baseball's 2022 season begins. And joining us in just a mere matter of moments to talk about it is the founder and CEO of John Boy Media, John Boy himself, will be joining us. So, we got ourselves a full slate today, do we not?
What a Thursday.
That'll be fun. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some baseball. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Would love to hear from you about what you're interested in and talking about. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. John Boy of John Boy Media. Let's talk some baseball, everybody. It's opening day, and Tiger Woods is back at the Masters. What a Thursday. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now, because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We are a baseball show, as you know. Not many national TV, radio simulcasts talk a lot about baseball. You know, I was the first ever host of Major League Baseball's coverage on ESPN Radio way back in, I think, 1997. So, and I just love the sport. Can't get enough of it. And it just drives me crazy. And but I can't quit it. And this man's coverage makes me enjoy it more. I'll be honest with you. And the way he talks about it and the way that his media group talks about it brings it to an age group that baseball desperately needs it to be brought to be very, very honest with you. So on opening day, we were talking to each other like, who do we want to talk to about it? And this was the consensus choice to let's get him on. And he's kind enough to join us here on opening day of the 2022 season. He is the founder and CEO of John Boy Media, John Boy himself. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. I feel honored that I was the consensus pick.
You
Thank
were.
You very much for having me.
You were. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. So I don't know which way to go with this one. How nervous were you during the lockout? Let's talk that one first. What did you think about
that?
Yeah,
I really thought they were going to miss some games. So I'm excited that we got to 162. It wasn't as ugly as I thought it was going to be. It was kind of just more comical with the fake deadlines and one side saying there's a deadline and the other side saying we don't believe you, one side canceling games and the other side saying we don't believe you, and then they ended up uncanceling all the games. So we got to a good spot in the end.
Absolutely. So tell me why the Dodgers are why we should just watch it. Why the other 29 have a chance, or some of them do. Walk me through that one first.
Well, even if it is the Dodgers the whole way through, and I do think they're going to go pole to pole, first place, and I do have them going to the World Series again, I think that's going to be exciting because I don't know what arms are going to do it in L.A. They have a lot of young arms that are going to impress us. They don't have the same starting pitching, but they're just so good. Other than that, baseball's got great parity, so there's going to be some team that surprises us and makes the playoffs and then maybe makes a run, and hopefully the Giants can give the Dodgers a run for their money again. And I think the AL East has four teams that have pretty similar odds to win the division and then can do whatever they want in the playoffs, depending on who's healthy and how they're rolling. So the AL East should be fun.
You know, when you talk about the AL East, it's just it is hard to not choose the Rays just because, you know, by the end of the day, you know, you'll know that no matter what happens, they put the ball in play. They strike you out more. They've got arms that for days that throw 100 miles an hour. They've got a manager who does not care what you think about openers instead of starters and anything like that. Everybody fields it. Everyone hits it. And, you know, you might not have a whole bunch of them on your fantasy team, but put them together and they're tough to beat. Am I wrong about that one?
I agree with you. I was shocked when I saw the odds, and a lot of the experts are kind of down on the Rays this year, I think, because the names aren't there, but the names are never there. Right. You're basically just, it's a team of silhouettes. You know, they're like rostered interchange during the lockout when they changed all the faces, because you never know any of them. And they're going to be there for 4 years, and they're going to torment us and then win. And I chose the Rays to win the division, and I said I didn't even look at the roster. I have no idea who they are.
I'm with you. I'm so with you, John Boy. I'm so 100% with you. And they're so frustrating. And again, you and I come from the same pinstripe approach here, because the Yankees have got a gajillion dollars, and the Rays, you know, don't. And the Yankees have, you know, Monument Park, and the Rays have all of these rings in their stadium that you need to know is going to, you know, is whether it's in play or not, you know. So, but by the end of the day, they'll just beat you anyway. Who is the surprise team then, do you think, in the American League this year?
Well, the Blue Jays haven't made the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs last year. It's not going to be a surprise because everybody is choosing them, and they have a really, really complete roster. The lineup's great. The starting staff is top tier. The bullpen's really good. Maybe to fans that aren't paying attention to the offseason moves and the changes and just tune in on opening day and then get caught up, maybe they'll be a little surprised that they are the favorite to win the division, barely, and some places don't have them as a favorite, but a lot do. So I think that might be a surprise for some people. Other than that, I really don't know. I think I think it's very top heavy. I don't know if we're going to get a surprise team. Like, I hope the Mariners catch some eyes in the West again and actually make the playoffs, because they're young and they're fun. They made some moves to better their club, and they almost made the playoffs last year. So that might be a surprise team to make the dance, but I wouldn't pick them to win the World Series.
So then who's your American League team to face the Dodgers in the World Series? What do you got?
I like the White Sox, and I say that because I can't say another AL East team, and I don't really believe it's the Yankees, and I can't give the Red Sox, Rays, or Blue Jays any love, so that leaves me with the White Sox.
I like your process. I like your process very. It's impressive, John Boy. So let's get to the Yankees. It's the pitching, right? They're just, you know, it's Cole is way too up and down for somebody that's supposed to be locked in all the time for the amount of money he makes, right? And then Severino, it's their starters. What concerns you about the Yankees?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation with the Yankees pitching, because they finished last year as a top five pitching staff in the rotation and the bullpen, according to WAR and ERA Plus and all those fun stats. But Cole carries a lot of that weight, and if he's hurt, like he was at the end of last year, or fatigued, like he said, then it dooms you. And you can't have a hurt Cole on the road in the wild card. So the staff can be really good. If Severino is back, and he's anything like the Severino we know, and he showed signs at the end of last year, that'd be a really, really fun 1-2 punch. So it is, you know, opening day. We are optimistic and, yes, and dreaming. So I'm dreaming of Severino having a quality year. I really like Jordan Montgomery as a 3 or 4. I think he's a grinder. I think he'll always have a couple games that ruin his season-long ERA, but he'll give the team a chance to win more than he doesn't. And hopefully Tyone can step up. So the pitching was good last year. It was the offense that was the problem. Maybe it was fluky. I'm not sure. I do love their bullpen. I like the Yankees' bullpen a lot. They've really changed their development on the pitching side in the minor leagues, and it showed.
John Boy of John Boy Media here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, one of the many things that you do so well is show the game within the game in such a way that is not only entertaining and occasionally profane, but is just straight up what's being talked about and what's being perpetrated sometimes. So are we done with the spider attack? Is that all done, do you think, or what?
We have a very funny update. MLB came out and they said, we are going to change the process of umpires checking the pitchers this year, because I think that's kind of them sneakily admitting that it ticked back up. And if you look at a lot of pitchers last year, at the end of the year, it ticked back up. So you go, oh, interesting, you're going to change the process. What do you think you have to do that's much more intense to catch these guys? And they announced that they will now be checking the pitcher's fingertips.
What's going on there? What do you think? What's going on there?
Seems like they might have, maybe that should have been the first place they checked from the start.
Instead of the belt? Instead of the belt and the shoelaces and all that?
They did belt, hat, glove last year. So I think a lot of pitchers said, okay, I'll just put it somewhere that's not those three places. So we will see. We will see, because at the end of in September last year, a lot of pitchers, it definitely ticked back up, and you're like, they might be having it again. So now the umpires will check their fingertips, and hopefully it goes away, because I don't like all those blights or the doubt that it puts into play.
What is PitchCom? What the hell is this thing? Can you explain it, and how this was? It might actually change the way that signs are stolen in baseball? John Boy?
Yeah, so if I have this correct, I'm not 100%, but I believe it's a wristband that the catcher wears.
Yes.
And he signals the pitch that he wants to call to the pitcher, and the pitcher has a little speaker in his hat that like whispers it to him, like Siri, and they're allowed to give two defensive players the hats as well. So you would guess it would be the shortstop and the second baseman, so they know what pitch is being called. And the idea is to stop pitch stealing, which in theory is good. And if that's all it is, I'm okay with it. The first time a team taps into the system and steals it electronically, I think you have to punish them, like fully punish them right away, because you know someone's going to try. But in theory, it should speed up the game. I'm pretty open to a lot of the changes of speeding up the game and making it all more entertaining and all that. I do love watching the pitcher and catcher communicate without words and shaking no and the fake shakes. Zach Greinke does a lot of fake shakes where he shakes no, but he doesn't really mean it, just to fake out the batter. So we'll lose a little bit of that, but if it takes away sign stealing and scheming and we get a more honest approach, I'm fine with that.
So it's in the hat? Like I can't wait to see how this works. And so if a shortstop and a second baseman have it, because it, from what I read, it not only communicates what the pitch is, but the location as well. And so, and it works in English and Spanish as well. That, like, let's just say there's 6,000 fans in a stadium because a team stinks, or it's, you know, 12:30 at night and they went through a 3-hour rain delay. Is it possible somebody's leading off a second base and they hear something in the ear, the communicating of the shortstop? Like, is that entirely possible of hearing that?
I'd love to test it out and see, because how loud is it?
Right.
I mean, can they hear it if the crowd is loud? Is now football come into play where you're, you know, screaming so the pitcher can't hear the call? Because then they'll just revert back to their fingertips. So that weirded me out when they said it was a robot saying it. Like, why wouldn't it just be like a bzz, bzz, or, you know, I don't know. It seems like a little buzz would be better, but to have someone whisper to you, I think it would throw me off my game if I had a robot talking to me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes my guy Brockman gets in my ear and he sounds very robotic, and it throws me off a little bit too. So you
never
know.
That's a fair point.
So, John Boy, walk me through your process. How do you decide what deserves one of your fame breakdowns or not? Walk me through, like, say, Oscar night, what that was like for you.
So my baby was asleep already. I had put him down and I was on the couch,
yes,
by myself. And for that one, it was, well, I got tagged in it a bunch because at first people thought it was going to be a lip reading situation because they muted it in the U.S.
Yes.
So my Twitter blew up, and then the other footage came out. There was one from Australia that was not bleeped, and then there's one from Japan, which,
yes,
had it uncensored, what Will Smith yelled, but also had like the Japanese overdub, and they were, all three of those were going around. So I thought it would be beneficial to mix the three. So that's what I did. I combined the three. So it's one fluid, no Japanese overdub, the actual words. And then I kind of just, you know, walked through why he took offense and then kind of pointed out some funny stuff that I noticed. And, yeah, once I realized there's three different clips going around, and it'd probably be helpful if I just combined them for people.
Right.
Knowing that it was hot. And that was a breakdown that if I made it the next day, I don't think it gets as much attention, but I was able to make it within the hour, and I got 20 million views in 12 hours.
It's amazing. 20 million views in half a day.
Across Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. It went nuts.
So you're cutting this yourself? Like, you're like, I got to do this, like, on the spot? Or you got a team?
Yep, I grabbed all the footage, went down to my office in the basement, and pieced it together and edited it, posted it.
That is truly the most... I still can't believe he slapped him. I still can't believe that actually happened, John Boy.
No. It's a lot of people thought it was fake, but now the repercussions are coming down. And
you think?
I don't think people think it's fake anymore.
What's your favorite one you've done for baseball? Which one do you think is the best one you've done, your breakdowns?
We're up to like 1,000 now, so it's tough. There's ones that, you know, the Boone's speech, the Savages in the Box, still cracks me up every time I hear it, but that's all him. I didn't do much. There's some good lip readings. I always loved Gabe Kapler when he was on the Phillies because he was kind of so earnest in his arguments with umpires. Mm-hmm. Whenever I can tackle the lip reading and really think I got it, that's fun. Let's see, the Amir Garrett fight one, that's a while back, but everybody enjoys that. Last year I had the when Scherzer got checked for sticky stuff, and then Joe Girardi was yelling at across the dugout, and they had to rub the umpire's fingers through his hair. That was really fun. That was a fun one.
I remember that one. He's just like, you got to be kidding me. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Did you ever get any blowback? Somebody was like really pissed that you tapped into something that actually happened, and they didn't want the John Boy's lip reading treatment spotlight placed on it. Has that ever happened with you?
No, I haven't. Whenever we interview players or meet players, sometimes they'll say like, oh, you did one, and I always ask, Did I get it right? And usually they're like, yeah. I try not to ever really put someone on full blast. I think now I know people watch them, so it's trends more towards humor than critique. But no, I haven't. I'm sure there's been players that haven't enjoyed a video or just, you know, a bad moment. There was that Pirates first baseman, Will Craig, who had one of the worst blunders ever, and I made a video on it, and, you know, just this is one of the worst blunders ever. So I'm sure he didn't watch it or enjoy that it was made, but what are you going
to
do?
You mean running somebody back to home plate like he's got him in a rundown?
Yeah.
That's a first base. A grounder to first, running him back to home plate that was Little League stuff. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. It was very bizarre. Could have just stepped on first.
Oh, my God. All right, before I let you go, what are we not talking about? What's coming this season? What are you hearing about? What do you think is going to be? Because I didn't think, you know, we would be talking spider tack in the middle of the year last year until obviously a couple of games got played. But what are you hearing? What can you tell us? Anything on that front, John Boy?
It's been such a crazy offseason that we had so many moves. I don't know, like, it doesn't seem like there's a big target in the offseason right now that we know, like, hey, this guy's going to get traded for come the All-Star break or around there. So I'm hoping that it's really the NL East and the AL East are kind of really top-heavy, a bunch of teams, good baseball. I don't have any, you know, drama that I am aware of besides the baseball games.
Well, one thing I think you should keep an eye on, if I may, and I think you will anyway, but the umpires trying to figure out how to announce to the crowd what they've actually decided for the first time. They're being forced to, just like every other ref in sports or official in sports, explain to the crowd. What they've decided to adjudicate once replay is over. They can't just, you know, give one sign and grunt at a base and just leave it at that anymore.
Years later, MLB finally did it.
I mean, right? So, like, there are going to be some umpires that just won't be able to handle the explanation factor or anything like that, or miss the camera or something like that. I think
there's a lot of, like, you know, they don't have their stage ready voice.
Yep.
It's going to be funny to hear some of them stumble through it. And also, sometimes the upstairs ump gets it wrong, and then they have to be the one that tells everyone that.
Oops.
And not say, you know, it wasn't me, it was him.
Yeah.
That's what they tell the players. I mean, I've lip read that before. They say, hey, that upstairs made this call. I don't know. They're not going to really say that to the crowd.
I was just saying the other day, I'm upset this has happened after Joe West retires. You know, denying us one extra way for him to communicate to the fans that he doesn't really care to communicate with them. It's just like that disappoints me. That he's gone.
I would bet you when he read the headline, he thought about coming out back out of retirement.
Just to show this.
Now he's got a mic.
That's right. Just to show his disdain verbally, you know, for everybody.
Yes.
John Boy, congrats on all your remarkable success and look for my call. I'd love to keep in touch with you and just get your unique perspective on this sport. I think it's valuable and unique and entertaining. And thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
You got it. That's John Boy of John Boy Media. I follow him. Everybody pretty much has to, I think, in order to be online. Joining us here on opening day.
You're a baseball fan. You're not following, you know, him and his,
well, it's not just
his
that.
Crew.
His breakdown of Will Smith and Chris Rock on Oscar night was hilarious. But also a public service. I mean, they're comprehensive. They're funny, and he is just a great A lip reader.
Yeah.
And
next level.
And that was great. That was a funny breakdown. But also, like, you want to know exactly what happened and how it set it up and how he laughed at the joke first, and then he saw the side eye from his wife. And then suddenly he gets up there, and then this is proof why it was real. And then here was Chris Rock's reaction afterwards. And he basically then said to Will Smith, I'm not going to talk about her anymore, okay? And then
like a G.I. Jane joke?
All of it. Yeah, like he had even this, God bless him. He had like the movie poster of G.I. Jane that he put up on on his breakdown to just show you what is happening. Then again, just... As somebody who talks about this stuff for a living and has a daily program that uses video and then repurposes it online, the fact that he's still going and stuff doesn't get taken down is just, his streak is incredible. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, now he's more of a Ripken. He's more of an effective pirate than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I know.
You like that one?
Rich, we got to get to break. We have to talk about Tiger.
Dude, man. I already know what's going on with him. Not only because I can, you know, multitask, but I just see your reactions while I'm talking to a guest.
I know.
You're like wigging out over there. I apologize. Like, you know, I mean.
Well, he had a birdie putt lip out on five.
I could tell in the middle of that when I'm talking about the rings in the Tropicana Field or whatever the hell they call it down there in Vitaland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought you were like reacting by looking up.
Yeah.
You know, like you were looking at one of those rings. No, he missed the putt that I was telling everybody that he had thrown a dart for on five. I know that he had missed that based on the reaction.
I mean, it lipped out. Like, it was right in the hole, and at the last second, broke left, and then lipped out.
And then I could tell that he actually had a great dart on a par three.
On six.
Correct, that it was so close, because I saw your reaction. I have it on my screen here. Right. I looked to my left. I saw that he was that close. And then I saw your reaction that he just tapped it in, and he's one under par. Am I correct? I haven't even looked at anything. He's one under through six, yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. This is why I'm nominated twice.
He's in the pine straw on seven, though, on the right. His tee shot went
You didn't have an emotional reaction to that.
Well, because I was involved in the conversation as it was happening.
Well done, sir.
I was watching.
That's why you're nominated as well.
Thank you. I'm watching and talking.
And I don't have a monitor, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
TJ, masters.com. Masters.com. Just put it on. Come on.
I don't see it either.
Well done, sir. Well done, everybody.
No clue.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I read something that is totally outrageous, and I don't know how this could possibly be said by such a publication as Consumer Reports and Travel and Leisure altogether. How does that sound for a break?
Wow.
And it's easy. I don't understand it. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Callaway, Team Callaway member Taylor Gooch is tied for the lead at the Masters right now. Halfway through his first round, close to it. He's through, he's making the turn at 2 under par.
Rich is going to shortly. Amen Corner. That's where he's going.
Well, okay, very good. That's where he's headed. He's number 2 through 8 holes right now. And he's out there with the Callaway Rogue Irons, just like you should be. Yeah. What you should do is figure out which is the best Callaway iron, Rogue iron to go rogue with. Rogue ST irons come in 4 different offerings. The one I use is a Rogue ST Max, designed for the widest range of players because of its refined game improvement, shaping, and incredible combination of speed, forgiveness, that's most important for me, and all-around performance. But if you're a low to single, mid-single digit handicapper, there's the Rogue ST Pro. There's a hollow body construction in that stick with a sleek, compact player shape. The best game improvement model is Max OS, gives the mid to high handicappers total forgiveness with high launch, wide soles, and enhanced offset. I might have to give that one a whirl. There's the Max OS Lite, their most forgiving high launch iron. So it comes with wider soles, increased lofts, and a lightweight package for players with slower swing speeds. No other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST iron at CallawayGolf.com/GoRogue. Tiger's on right now on 7, trying to get an up and down for par here. To try and stay one under par, and it looks like he damn near almost holed out. So he's going to get an up and down par. I don't know if this is going to be without the express written consent of the commissioner of the NFL. I'll just say that since he's probably at Augusta National right now.
Oh, he's a member, Rich.
You know what? I can neither confirm nor deny, Christopher. I haven't been out there yet.
You've got the invite from RG1?
To Augusta?
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Is that a yes?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Wow.
Actually,
that's great company.
No, he's never invited me to a guest. I don't mean to maintain the mystery any longer. But so this crossed my Twitter feed. This crossed my Twitter feed.
What do you got?
Consumer Reports has got a report out there about trying to conserve energy. We should all do that to save the planet. And, of course, to save on your energy bills, certainly as the temperatures rise. Telling you what to set your thermostat on as you leave the house during the summer. And then what to set your thermostat on at night. Travel and Leisure is reporting this. And apparently, you should set your thermostat at 82 degrees every night.
Like, so I can die?
And 78 degrees during the day. And to that, I just have two very, very short words.
There's a lot of two words that you can get.
I'll just use the ones that I could say here.
Because I got like 16.
Okay, hell no!
I was going to go with bleep off.
I just said I had two words for
82
you.
82 degrees.
Yeah, do they want me to die at night or...
I mean, what are you talking about?
This was obviously not done by people who live in Southern California.
Or just live anywhere on planet Earth.
Right.
Like, again, I want to make sure we all understand that this is done to conserve energy. And
I'll conserve energy other ways.
It's a very serious subject matter, right?
Yeah.
But I'll conserve in other ways.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I got an electric car. I'm off the grid.
Yeah, you're good.
You know what I mean? I'm conserving.
You're doing your part.
Well, I'm kind of sucking energy off the electric grid to keep,
That's
true. I'm not putting anything in the air.
Right.
I'll unplug the fridge for a few minutes.
You know what? I set my thermostat on 68 every night.
And we're on 72.
68, man. Yeah. 68. And you, by the way, you look at any of the mattress companies or sleep help companies or anything.
Cool.
82 is like way off the mark.
Way off.
Yeah. Does anybody out there really set their thermostat to 82 degrees at night?
It's just uncomfortable.
Like, so what are they saying? You should be super hot? Like, I don't understand what that means. Like, why 82? That's unbelievable.
See, I don't know what the
article said. But it was funny seeing all of those responses. I think our friend Jane Slater was like, I keep it at 65. Like, what is 82?
No, 65 is a little too cold.
Basically says... the report says consumers can save an extra 3% on their energy bill for every degree they raise on their unit.
Well, I don't need that much.
If you're convinced this temperature won't work for you, the program recommends setting it to 78 degrees and lowering it by 1 degree at a time until you've reached the best possible indoor climate. I'll just cut straight to the chase. 68. People who are more, quote unquote, heat tolerant can also ratchet up the temperature 1 degree at a time as well. So above,
like 85?
What is this, the heat miser from like the Christmas cartoons?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Even the heat miser from the Christmas cartoons is saying, oh, hold on a minute, Burl Ives, let's go down a little bit.
Easy, Burl Ives.
My people tend to run a little bit hot, too, so I don't think that, like...
Get out of here with that.
This climate's comparable.
With that noise. Sometimes I set it to 68, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night saying, what the hell's happened here? And I'll go to the thermostat, and it says, it's right at 68, and I'm... There goes another one down.
Another one down.
Another one bites the dust. What the hell?
82.
And I'm in the valley now, Rich, so it's
buddy.
You know, summertime's coming.
Yeah.
78, I'll melt.
And for those who don't know about the valley, right, I live close to the studio here in El Segundo, so if I were to drive to Brotman's house on a typical Saturday afternoon, I would leave where I live, and it would be 70 degrees. By the time I get to Brockman's house, I guarantee you it's going to be 82. Like, that's how big the difference is.
And sometimes it might be 20 degree plus 20.
They suggest switching to linen bedding, lighter colors, or ditching your top sheet for the season to help stay comfortable and cool.
Yeah, you don't need a comforter, I guess.
On particularly hot days, you should avoid running your dishwasher, oven.
I'll do that.
Washer and dryer to keep from being heat from being generated inside the house.
I can live with all those, just not 82.
Dude, how often do you wash your dishes?
Used your oven?
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I wash dishes I used the dishwasher on Friday before I left Dallas, but before then.
Because you're a single man.
Yeah.
How often do you just leave the dishes and then just screw it? I'll get to that tomorrow.
I mean, here's the deal. I
live with somebody that if I place a fork in the sink.
You got to get it immediately?
I heard that last night. I put a dish in the sink.
Watch it.
And because I was just like going to go do something and get back to it in 10 minutes.
I'm coming back.
No, 10 seconds that dish couldn't sit in that sink.
Now, I'm on that paper plate life. I used to have a full set of dishes and stuff. And then I was like, why?
Paper plate life is nice.
So I've got a couple plates. I try not to use them. Paper plates. That's throw it in the trash.
Yeah, easy throw out.
Easy clean out.
That's about to say, of course, you'd be like, yeah, I can handle not putting the dishwasher, using the dishwasher, definitely. Not using the oven. You know, I'll just order in, and I'll just leave the plates in the sink.
That's I'm on the air fryer life, Rich.
That's not my life.
Not an option. Not an option.
That's why I'm going down to 68 every night, man. Every night.
Is that permissible?
We're lockstep.
Is that that's a mutually agreed upon
That's a mutually agreed upon degree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if she was like a 78 type person.
I don't know how you can be married to a 70. This is insane to me. This is crazy talk. Keeping it to 70, 82 degrees, 82? What are we talking about here?
What are we talking about?
Honestly, like.
I'm not doing that, just so everybody knows.
Like, nobody sleeps in saunas anyway. What are you talking about? The news and David Shaw coming up, hour 2.